My $5 bill is an indication that my possessions belong to God, not just my money, all that I have.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today on a subject that a lot of Christians would like to avoid and a lot of preachers never preach about. The subject is tithing, T-I-T-H-I-N-G. My husband and I have visited the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, where Dr. Charles Stanley is the minister. And I believe every Sunday morning, the entire congregation stands up before the offering is taken, and they say something like this: "The Bible teaches it. I believe it. Tithe." Now, the tithe in the Old Testament law was simply a tenth of whatever the people of Israel had. They had to give the firstborn of their flocks and herds to the Lord, and a tenth of other things. And generally speaking, that is the rule that most Christians have adopted for their own giving. There's nothing in the New Testament that says you must give God a tenth of what you have. But there's a principle involved here. And the reason that I bring up the subject is, of course, that a listener has written to ask about it. She says this: "While I was laid off from my job, God caused me to lie down in green pastures and used that time for me to become aware of my self-righteousness. That time alone with God, those months ahead, were some of my most treasured times I've ever spent on this earth as yet. I was still and listened and learned from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Bible, and understanding, especially through the daily radio broadcasts I was listening to. And Elizabeth, yours is one of my favorites. Thank you for that word. Truly, each day I anxiously awaited listening." This is some of our tithes. She sent a gift with her letter to our Lord, as we have not a church as yet, and we feel confident that your program is a blessing to all. Thank you for caring and sharing. But the question she asks is, do we give a tenth of our net income or a tenth of the gross? Now, I can't tell you, Mark and Kathy, whether God wants you to give a tenth of net or a tenth of gross. And that's something that you're going to have to face with God. But let me say some things about the principle of tithing that I think are more important than whether you give a tenth of net or a tenth of gross or a 15th or a 20th or whatever, 20%. The basic principle is that all of our lives are meant to be an offering to God. God wants my heart, first of all. He says, "My son, give me thine heart." He wants us to offer up all that we are, all that we have, all that we do, and all that we suffer. And it's not our business what God is going to do with those offerings when we make them. Think of an ordinary church service. When you go to church, some of you, I suppose, are going because you like the preacher, because your friends go, because it's the thing to do where you live, because you want your children to go to church. You don't really think you need it, but maybe the kids do. Some of you go because it's a beautiful building and it's handy to where you live. I don't know what your reasons are for going to church. Many of you go to worship. But I think the primary reason for going to church ought to be to worship. It is a place where, as a gathered collection of believing people, can offer up to God their praises and thanksgivings as a corporate body. And there's something special about joining with other people to offer up your praise and thanksgiving. God wants our individual praise, of course. He also wants us to go and join with others, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So by all means, I would encourage my correspondent who's written this letter to seek God's guidance in finding a church, which they haven't found yet, and then stick to it. Be faithful in attendance at that church. Make a commitment. So we go to offer ourselves to God. We offer the fruit of our lips, as the scripture calls it, the fruit of our lips giving thanks. We offer our voices in song or in a joyful noise if you can't really sing a song. We offer our time. And when the collection plate comes around, or the offering plate, as I would prefer to call it, my sticking a dollar into the plate, or $10 or whatever, is not saying, Lord, this is for you. It's a token that everything I have belongs to Him. This is simply a visible sign of an invisible reality. The $5 bill is a visible sign. What is it telling God? It's not telling God that the other $95 I made this week are mine. It's telling God, look, here is a token, but I offer with it myself. I acknowledge to you, Lord, that without you, I could not have earned even the $5, let alone the $100. I couldn't take my next breath without you. It's a sign of dependence. It's a sign of thanksgiving. It's a sign of consecration. And the same thing is true when the cup and the bread are offered. There are two different things going on here, at least two things. For one thing, Jesus is offering himself to us, isn't he? In his broken bread and poured out blood. Jesus gives himself to us in that breaking of bread service. But we also give ourselves to him. We give the bread. Now, we made the bread. Somebody made the bread. Some human being had to make the bread. Some farmer had to grow the wheat. Somebody had to grind it. Somebody had to make the yeast and the shortening. Somebody had to milk the cow if there's milk in the bread. Somebody made that bread. But nobody could have done one single thing about baking a loaf of bread if it hadn't been for the gifts of God, could it? So it's a continuous circle. God gives us the rain and the sun to make the wheat grow. He gives us the ability to be farmers and millers and bakers. He gives us our breath. We receive his gifts. We bring them back to him in the form of this loaf of bread. He gives himself to us. We offer ourselves to him. These are visible signs of the invisible reality of our receiving and giving all which was his to begin with, wasn't it? So my $5 bill is an indication that my possessions belong to God, not just my money, my house, my family, my clothes, my work, all that I have. I'm saying, Lord, it's an offering to you. My body first, my heart, my will, my emotions, my mind, my things, my loved ones, all that I am, have, do, and suffer. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, Paul is talking about the collection in aid of God's people. He says, every Sunday, each of you is to put aside and keep by him a sum in proportion to his gains, so that there may be no collecting when I come. When I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to persons approved of by you, and send them to carry your gift to Jerusalem. In the same chapter, he speaks of the family of Stephanas. They were the first converts in Achaia, and he says they have laid themselves out to serve God's people. I wish you to give their due position to such persons, and indeed to everyone who labors hard at our common task. So this Stephanas family, and also he mentions Fortunatus and Achaicus, are people who have given themselves as well as their money. God does not want your money until He has your heart. He wants your heart, your soul, your body. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And if you love a human being, if you love your husband or your wife, you love them enough to give everything you have. It's a surrender of your body too, isn't it? A surrender of your life to that person. But then you also want to give them tokens, flowers on a birthday. What do the flowers say? Well, the flowers are just one more little expression of saying, I'm yours. I love you. I belong to you. So I hope that some of you who perhaps have thought of the tithe as an obligation which you grudgingly bring to God will think twice, or maybe 10 times, about the fact that the tithe is a visible token of the love of your heart, the utter consecration of your body, the surrender of your life, which the Bible tells us is an act of spiritual worship. Putting that money into the offering plate can be an act of spiritual worship, just as standing to sing the hymn or kneeling to pray. May God help us to give ourselves, our souls and bodies, unreservedly and irrevocably to Him.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.